Well, welcome to Duff and Quarters, brought to you by Tab Touch. Today we talk about James Hird. Should the Dockers invest in him? We look at the West Coast and Freo practice match and the impact Nathan Avadi's injury will have on them, where Nick Nat is at. And also, Harley Bennell's return to the fold at Fremantle.
That was out of bounds!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, good morning, listeners. It's time for Duff and Quarters.
Duff, how are you?
It's the show that offers you more action than a dinner party at David Warner's when Quinton de Kock got invited. It's the show that offers you more inside information than WikiLeaks. It's myself, the chief football writer of the West Australian newspaper, talking to the sports editor of the Sunday Times, of course, Glenn Quatermain. And Quarters, we're not far away now, 2 weeks out from the season proper.
Yeah, starting to get excited now. And just you can see the tempo lift again in the JLT at the weekend. And really, really close. It comes on you pretty quickly, doesn't it?
It does. And obviously we saw some official JLT community series matches over the weekend. And we saw a scratch match between West Coast and Fremantle at Lathlain Park, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Bit going on off the field as well, though. James Hird. Back in the mix in terms of, and you know, let's not get carried away with what it is. Freo and another AFL club have approached him, and the Freo position will be part-time based in Melbourne as a forward scout, as a talent scout, looking at opposition teams.
Yeah.
So it's not a full-time position where he'll be sitting next to Ross Lyon, you know, but he'll be contributing in terms of analysis of the opposition. Look, I absolutely think he's worth a shot. I think he's served his time. None of us would agree with what happened at Essendon, but and particularly myself. But he served his time, and I think he deserves a chance to re-enter the industry.
Yeah, I must admit, as a Fremantle supporter, I have mixed feelings about it. But I think philosophically, you're either in one of two camps on this. You're either a person who believes that James Hird should get life for what happened at Essendon, or you're a person that has to acknowledge that the suspension's been served. He's come back and coached. He's gotten the sack from coaching because they didn't play well, and he's been in the wilderness for 2 or 3 years since then. And I can't bring myself to think that James Hird should get life.
No.
For what happened. So that being the case, you have to accept that he will be approached by football clubs because he has a good football brain, and he's been a very well-performed football person, both on the field and as a coach before the fiasco that was the 2012 supplement scandal. He took Essendon into the finals in 2011. So I don't think... I'm not sure about the Fremantle job as far as James Hird goes. I think the comment by Lee Matthews was probably the one that was the most apt. He's way overqualified for that job. And I think what probably needs to happen is that a club needs to be able to bring itself to say, OK, we will offer James Hird an assistant coach's position.
Absolutely. It could even be a re-entry point, and it grows from there. But I think, certainly, the punishment aside, he certainly copped a lot of the spotlight. He served his penance and probably became the man who wore most of that. So I think he really has served it and has suffered a bit off the field. And let's hope things move in a positive direction from here on. I'm not James Hird's biggest fan, but I wish him nothing but the best from this point onwards, and I hope he re-enters the industry, and perhaps from there, this could be an entry point, and then down the track, there's an assistant position somewhere.
Yeah, I think an assistant position is the ideal role for James Hird from this point forward. I don't see any club taking the leap of faith that would be required to giving him a senior coaching position, so I think an assistant position where he's able to lend his football expertise and his presence. I mean, we are talking about one of the greatest players of the modern era here. And as far as watching James Hird play goes, I was a massive fan. You know,
yeah, same.
It was hard not to be, wasn't it?
Really? Well, he couldn't not be.
He was fair. He was smart.
He was Essendon, and I like watching him. That says something.
Yeah, well, that's a big comment from a Hawthorn man. So, okay, let's get off Hurdy. Your boys did play on the weekend.
Yes.
They played the Doggies at Bendigo.
Liked what I saw from both teams. I loved the look of Aaron Norton. Very composed in the back line. And I particularly liked it on the outer wing when he just had eyes only for the pill with Jared Ruffhead running towards him at full steam.
Yep.
Took the mark, bore the brunt, got up and got on with it. Used the ball really well. I think he's a lock for round one. And yep. He's a really special talent.
Yeah, I agree. He plays round one. Of all the players we've seen come out of last year's draft, I think Norton is probably the one that's made the boldest statement in terms of the first JLT Community Series games that we've seen.
92% efficiency too at the weekend, his disposal. So that's pretty high.
The other one was Paddy Dow. I thought Paddy Dow, who obviously yep. was a top-end draft pick for Carlton, he was very good in their win over St Kilda on Thursday. So he's one to watch, and I think he'll be in the team for round one as well.
I liked I liked a lot about the Dogs too, playing with a lot of energy, as you would hope they would be at this stage of the year. But for my boys, the Hawks, loved the look of Jager O'Meara. Good to see him out there, trouble-free, moved well, making good decisions, putting himself in the, and you can see he's been with those players for a year now, and he knows where to run, and he's finding the right holes. So really good sign there. Let's hope it continues. Let's hope his knee holds up. And Jarman Impey took my eye as well. I thought electric pace, used the ball pretty well, and it will be a real addition to that Hawthorn forward line, I think.
Okay, Gold Coast versus Geelong up at, somewhere up in the tropics by the look of how sweaty the players were. Was it Townsville, I think?
I think so, yeah. WA boy, Tim Kelly.
Tim Kelly was good for three quarters, then got a knock on his leg and didn't play much in the last quarter. Hard to get a gauge on Geelong because they basically left most of their A-grade team at home. But I did like the change in system that we saw from Gold Coast. They were better organised defensively. They were not chopped up on transition like they have been known to be in recent seasons. They looked to have a better team defence. And I think that they may surprise a few early. I think Stewie Jew's obviously got them organised. There's clearly been a change there, and clearly there's been early buy-in to that change from the players.
And Gazza gone perhaps gives the players an opportunity to step up and accept their own leadership roles. So someone who took my eye was, and he's not a lemon, is Sean Lemons, who's been at the club for a while, playing mainly as a defender, but they put him into inside 50, into the forward line, and there's a lot to like about that forward line for Gold Coast.
Unfortunately, he pinged a
hammy. Yeah, he did. It's late in the game, wasn't it?
Right at the death, and it looked like a significant one, so I'd be surprised if he gets up for round one. But you're right, he's been a talented player for a number of years now, and he's one of those guys who he does it well, but he doesn't play well often enough.
Yeah.
And that's going to be his big challenge.
I think Rocket moved him forward towards the end of his tenure, and Stewie Jew liked that. He's remained there. So let's hope he gets up over that hammy pretty quickly, because I think he could be an exciting addition to them. Who else played the weekend? Carlton St Kilda, we mentioned before. Liam Jones looks like he's not stepped off at all. Looks like he's ready to have another good season. A lot of people thought last year might have been a one out of the box. He was playing for a new contract, of course, but he looks like he's really ready for another good year.
Good signs for Carlton quarters.
Yep. Charlie Curnow.
Bad signs for St Kilda. I thought. Like, okay. There's some pre-season games you look at and you think, well, they lost that, but that's not going to worry too much. None of us are going to take Geelong out of our top six because of what happened in Queensland on Sunday.
No.
But watching the Saints run around against the Blues last week at Icon Park, I thought I was a little bit concerned. They weren't where I thought they'd be. And they've got a couple to come into that team, no yep. doubt. And they're engine room players, and the engine room can change the nature of a game. But I thought at some point they would get a better toehold in that game than they had against the Blues, who, let's face it, most of us will have in our bottom three.
Yeah. How'd you see Paddy McCartan?
Yeah, look,
he wasn't holding them, but he's putting himself into positions. He's definitely got, there's the X factor there with him. I like what I see. Let's hope he can get over his concussion injuries. There's a big hole to fill in that St Kilda forward line.
Well, they just have to go with him, don't they, for half a year and see what they've got. The concerning bit for me was that, and obviously Nick Revolt was commentating on that game, and he was talking about they'll go with a two forward structure, and he was saying that Membry will be one, so therefore the other one will be basically a race between McCartan and Josh Bruce. I think when you've got a top end draft pick like McCartan, at some point you've got to use him or lose him.
Yeah.
And really, this is the year they should...
Well, they have to.
That they should put him in for eight games and see what they've got at the end of eight games. And if that means they've got to find another use for Josh Bruce, who I would think does play, then I would try and find it. Maybe play him in defence and swing him forward occasionally, you know, when you're looking for a goal. But that they need to put Paddy McCartan in as their spearhead for a significant period of time and then see how he develops. Because he hasn't had continuity. He's missed a lot of footy, and the last thing he needs now is for almost like a vote of no confidence from the coach and the selectors yep. that we're not sure whether you're going to make
it. I would be very surprised if Alan Richardson didn't stick with him for a sustained period. Just in that game, Charlie Curnow, and obviously a very talented player for the Carlton Footy Club, AFL players have voted on who's the most likely players to have breakout seasons, and they've got him as number one.
Yeah, he's a really exciting talent. He's athletic. He's mid-190 centimetres, which means if you want to, you can play him in a key position role, but he can also play that floating role, and he can get up around the midfield a little bit. He's really mobile. Mm. He's a great talent, and he's one of the reasons why Carlton will feel like the rebuild is on track, regardless of how many wins they get this season.
Two other players who are in that category who AFL players have voted on are Eric Hipwood and Harris Andrews, and Brisbane look like they're on the track as well.
Well, I think we've all liked Harris Andrews for a number of years in really difficult circumstances at Brisbane.
Yep.
Because obviously there's been a lot of turnovers and a lot of traffic in their D50, defensive 50. Hipwood is a guy who three or four times a game you see something, you think, oh, there's a bit of Buddy Franklin about that. But he has to start kicking his two, threes and fours regularly and come up with a 35 to 45 goal season before we know that it's anything more than flashes. Yeah, good signs.
Yeah.
They probably didn't see a lot from Rayner. They would have liked to see Cam Rayner.
Yeah, only about five touches, I think, at the weekend.
Get a little bit more of it.
Probably still getting those butterflies out of the tummy, I think.
And probably also McLuggage, who's now a second-year player. He had a little
Let's hope
bit...
they don't carry him for too long. Okay, sorry.
Boom, boom.
Couldn't miss the opportunity. they played Sydney at the weekend, and I think it's good news. We were a bit worried about Alir Alir, and I'm not sure what's going on with Alir Alir, because I rate him. I really rate him. And Callum Sinclair, but I think they're both okay. There's injuries that looked a bit significant at the weekend. I don't think they are significant, so that's good for Sydney.
Yeah, fingers crossed that they get up for round one. We'd love to see them at Optus Stadium against West Coast March 25. Speaking of West Coast.
Yes.
West Coast versus Fremantle, Lathlane Park Sunday morning. I was there.
You were in there with your dark glasses and your spy coat.
I was. Yes. My binoculars, yes. Mm-hmm. All that sort of thing. Had a CIA pass.
How did Lathlane look?
The playing surface looked really good and the building site looks extensive.
Did you know where to go? Because the game shifted that much. Was it Sue? I don't think anyone knew where it was.
Glenn, we got told where to go. We got shepherded.
Oh, did you?
Oh, we got put in a little bay underneath the grandstand, and we covered the game from there. The big story to come out of that game for West Coast, the loss of Nathan Vardy will become clearer on how long that loss is for later today, but just talking to a few people, I get the feeling they're not expecting him back inside a month, mm-hmm. which means he misses round one. And if there's another injury to a big man before round one, West Coast is getting very skinny in the ruck stocks.
Yep. So Lycett and probably Fraser McInnes. And beyond that, we might have to improvise.
Yep. So they're starting to look a bit shaky for round one now.
Well, of course, we're saying Nick Nat's not going to get up for round one. That's what I'm assuming that's the case.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be surprised either way with Nick Nat. They keep on saying he's on track for what they're trying to get him to do. Maybe they just don't want him to play much before round one. That's their choice. I'd be surprised if Nick plays in round one if he doesn't play before, which means he's got to either play against Fremantle at Joondalup this week in the JLT Community Series, or he's got to play a game for East Perth the following week in the week's break between the JLT Community Series and the season proper. So, but there's also Josh Kennedy. Now, if Josh Kennedy doesn't play, that brings Jake Waterman, I think, right into the picture.
He would have to be. He's put his hand up again at the weekend. He would have to be tracking along nicely for round one, I would imagine.
I would have thought if Josh Kennedy doesn't play, Jake Waterman plays. And Quarters, the other one that we got a quick look at on the weekend, West Coast first pick at the draft last year, Jared Brander. He looks a good player.
Very much so.
Now, I'd be surprised if he's in the team for round one, but he's tall. He took a good clunk one-on-one against Michael Johnson, who's a very experienced player. And he just made good position, and he looked like he's got good skills when he's got the ball in hand. I think that they've definitely found a player there. Daniel Venables is one they've got to decide whether he fits into the middle midfield. And I think there's going to be a real sorting out, I reckon, this Sunday at Joondalup up with
yep.
West Coast.
So, yeah, we've got Ainsworth in the mix as well. But as we said last week, I wouldn't be going beyond two first gamers. It's too much to ask for in the one team. So they've got a few decisions to make
in front of 60,000 at Optus Stadium against Sydney.
You'll get found. They're a good barometer. Yeah, you'll get found out.
Exactly. They'll run the audit, as David King likes to say.
Yeah.
So I think one of Rioli and Ryan plays.
I'm a big Rioli fan, and I'm a big Ryan fan, but at the moment it looks like Ryan's got his nose in front, I would suggest.
Yeah, I wouldn't be so sure about that. Just because Willie Rioli plays more naturally at ground level, and Liam Ryan loves to take the big hanger, and I think there's going to, as much as it's going to prune his excitement level a little bit with the spectators, he's going to have to learn to stay down out of those marking contests a little bit more. Willie Rioli, if he's got the tank, if the club is confident he's got the tank to apply pressure over four quarters, I wouldn't be surprised if they've got him in front, just because he plays that ground level forward, the crumbing forward role. That comes a little bit more naturally to him, I reckon, than it does to Liam Ryan.
Or they could both play.
Exactly.
Yeah. But just before we get on to a few questions, Freo, Bailey Banfield continues to impress. Bailey Banfield, perhaps, or Ballas for round one?
Yeah, I would think both of those players play in round one. I think they will give Ballantyne early chances to resurrect his form. He's got issues, though, Hayden Ballantyne. He looks like a player now who is not sure how much time he's got. He's that little bit older. He's probably lost a yard of pace. He's probably had a run of injuries, which means he hasn't had good continuity at a time when he feels like he may be losing pace. And just a few times he's rushed and fumbly when he's got no reason to be, when basically he's got that 2 or 3 yards, which is all you get in AFL footy.
Called age, mate. And I know you and I are supreme athletes, but we're getting on, mate, too, and it's called age. As you get older, that's the touch that you lose.
I'm closer to being a supreme pizza than a supreme athlete quarters.
And just one other one, Stephen Hill. How do you see him? I mean, he's trained away from the main group, hasn't trained with the group for 5 weeks. I'll stand corrected on that, but that's what I believe. So is he... Let's go out of 100. What percentage do we reckon he is for round one?
He could not play in round one unless it's a bit like Nat Nui.
Got to play this week.
Unless he plays this week or the following week for Peel.
Pretty important for Freo, Stephen Hill.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you look at, like, they had the better team in on Sunday morning at Lathwayne Park, and that showed on the scoreboard. Yep. They were 5-goal winners, basically.
Yep.
But they did have Stephen Hill and Nathan Fyfe missing from their midfield. And, of course, Harley Bennell comes back to the camp later this afternoon. He will have his first training session back with his teammates after that 8-week club suspension. So it will be interesting to see how that unfolds as well. Probably still rehabbing a calf problem himself. So don't expect too much from him.
Just on to a few questions. We mentioned Michael Johnson earlier, but John Hines asks, is Michael Johnson in Freo's best 22? My answer is yes. I just think he's the distributor. And I think particularly early in the season, that cool calmness of head in the contest, I think that's definitely still in their best 22.
I think in answer to John's question, he is in round one and he probably is in round two. What happens in rounds one and two will probably determine whether he is beyond that. He's a bit shaky, Michael Johnson. He's 33. He doesn't quite have the surety that I reckon he's had in the past. I think they'll be watching his form pretty closely in rounds one and two.
Significant player in Ross Lyon's game plan, Michael Johnson.
He is, but don't forget, Luke Ryan is a very good distributor, very good decision maker, very good intercept marker, and they've got Nathan Wilson as well, who comes back and is the rebounder. He gives them pace and bounce out of the back, and there's no guarantee they wouldn't use Stephen Hill as a rebounding defender as well, particularly if he comes in off a slightly interrupted program. They may keep him out of the midfield for a few weeks and play him in defence. So there are a few options down there. You've got Hamling, and Alex Pierce looks really good as one tall defender, and touch wood for Alex, he stays sound. So, yeah, Jono needs to show a bit in rounds one and two.
It's a good position for Freo to be in. when we're having this debate about their back six.
At that end, they're very good, and through the middle, I think they're quite strong as well. The issue with Fremantle is, can they score enough to challenge?
Yep. Well, that has been the issue.
Yes, for quite some time. Okay, Darren Fisher Quarters asks, which Eagles rookie plays in round one, Venables, Ainsworth, Rioli or Ryan? Well, you've kind of gone partway to answering this question. If it's down to Rioli or Ryan, and I think they'll play both at Joondalup this week and there'll be a bit of a sort out, but if it's one of them, I'd be leaning towards Rioli.
Yeah, and I'm leaning towards Ryan. So, yeah. But not for any – I rate them both. It's just where I see they're at the moment.
If you look at West Coast midfield, so this pertains to Venables and Ainsworth. Yep. Ainsworth's done everything they've wanted him to do this preseason. I think he may come up just short in terms of the best 22 for round one. And the reason I say that, when I look at the West Coast team that ran around on the weekend, Luke Shuey has to come back into that. Andrew Gaff has to come back into that. Jack Redden has to come back into that. They would probably be at this point, along with Elliot Yeo, in the big four midfielders at West Coast.
So Venables, can he slot onto a bench?
I think Venables probably maybe gets a nod slightly ahead of Ainsworth.
Yep.
Just because second year player, he's also a bit inside. He walked out of a couple of stoppages quite powerfully on the weekend, and that caught the eye. He needs to do more of that. But I think he might be just ahead of Ainsworth if they're going to play one.
There'll be some confusion with the umpires on the threes and twos and ones with Luke Shuey and Venables, do you think, this year?
They look
very similar.
They actually have slightly different posture, I reckon.
Okay.
I reckon, and also, Daniel's yet to show that he can milk a high contact free kick. So I'm sure they'll sort Luke out when he
does
that big shrug up.
Dino asks, is Nick Nat going to play before West Coast's bye? Well, let's hope so. What's that, round 12?
Yeah, I'd be staggered if he doesn't play before.
He'll play before round 12, you know, subject to, provided nothing else goes wrong from here. Let's hope it doesn't. So I would suggest, as West Coast says, it's more unlikely than likely he's going to play round one, but this week. But if he doesn't play this week, well, I couldn't imagine how he would play round one.
So the issue with Nick Nat is how much damage there is to the joint and how close it is to bone on bone in that knee, if it indeed is bone on bone at this point. Now, how that will influence him is, one, he's going to have a pain threshold, and two, it's going to shorten his career and probably affect his athleticism. But none of those things mean that he will never play again.
No, I don't think anyone is saying that.
What it means is, how long will he play for and how compromised will he be when he plays? So that's what we're waiting to see, and that will only be answered in the fullness of time. Marcus Kay asks, is Michael Atness injured? If so, what's the injury and where is he at? So Michael Atness had, I think, a posterior cruciate ligament reconstruction.
Last year.
And that basically wiped him out for the entire season. He's been in pretty full training. And my understanding is that he played in a scratch match for Peel about a week and a half ago. And he's been out there training. And at this stage, he is sound. And then you touch wood when you say that in regards to Michael, because he's had quite a checkered pass with injury, particularly knee problems.
They rate him, the Dockers. They've invested a lot in him.
Well, he takes contested marks. And if you look at the way they play, they tend to, there's not a lot of science to the way Fremantle attacks. You know, they tend to go in long and quick. And so they're looking for a presence in the air down there who can really monster a pack and get the ball at ground level and let Michael Walters, Hayden Ballantyne, Brandon Matera, those players go to work. I think Atness, 3 years ago, I thought he had great potential. I just think he's one injury away from being from being done now. So if I was to pass judgment on whether he's likely or unlikely, I think he's going to need luck with injury, and one more injury nearly finishes him.
Yep.
All right, well, we'll be back next week. We'll have a full wrap-up of West Coast's and Fremantle's clash in the JLT Community Series at Joondalup. Obviously, there's a host of other JLT Community Series games to be played. We'll be looking at what Stars Geelong gets back and how they perform this week. And we'll keep you posted in the run into round one for Tab Touch.
Look forward to it, Duff.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.